We started last week this new series, Follow Christ. Everything we do ought to be centered on Christ. And not that just that Christ paid the price for us, Christ did this, did that, but he came and made this transition in history. He says, listen, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not that it's coming anymore. He said, it's here. And now that it's here, he went forth and said, this is now how you need to live. And he began to show us and speak to us and talk to us about how we live in this kingdom life, how we live as Christians, right? We live like Christ. Okay, I'm going to have to start over. I'm not. I'm just going to keep going. So, Matthew 6:25 says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I'm glad you guys said yes, because now I'm going to challenge you. As we go through this passage in Matthew, and Jesus is trying to teach us, and he's there on the Sea of Galilee. He's preaching to, in fact, I got a picture. This is one of the hills. This is northern Galilee. This is where the Sermon on the Mount is taking place. I mean, not, I don't know specifically, but it's pretty close. This is what it looks like over there. Yeah. It was comfortable enough to preach for a long time on the hill. But even there was even a spot where he was talking about, hey, when a farmer goes and he spreads seeds out on the field, you know, some will land in the good soil, some will land on the rocky soil. And he says even those things, the seeds that land in the rocky soil, it's that rocky soil that interrupts its growth. And it won't be good, solid product for growing your wheat or whatever it is you're growing, right? And so I hope you understand that that's a metaphor that Jesus is using. He uses agriculture often, but it's a metaphor to tell you, I want you to land on good soil, or I want you to know how it is that you're supposed to act in this kingdom life. And there are things in your life that are going to be like rocky soil that'll keep you from growing nicely, like worry. Right? Don't worry, he says. He says, listen, Christians, he didn't say Christians because that didn't come around until later. He says, those who follow me, who live in this kingdom life, they're not worriers. Are you with me so far? Now, I am fully aware that my effectiveness as a pastor in this brief time in your entire week can only go so far, right? I mean, as good as I am, and as entertaining as I am, and as wonderful as a pastor I am, and as much backup I get from Pastor James and the worship band, my effectiveness to get you to inform you, to teach you, to nurture you, to help you grow, can only go so far. As much as I can come up with good stories, as much as I can come up with my own modern metaphors or whatever to help you grow, I only have a certain amount of effectiveness in your life. And so I want to thank you for coming back again. I want to thank you for committing to this study that we're going to do. And you guys are sitting in the rows, and I'm going to do as best as I can to give you this information, and I'm going to preach with all I got because I want you to grow in Christ. And so I'm hoping that as you sit here, this information that I give you is not just information you put in your head, but it's transformational in your life. You begin to say, I want to act I want to walk, I want to talk, I want to be more like Jesus in my thoughts, in my heart, in my feelings, in the way I view the world, right? But in order to be more effective in your growth, you need some more better soil than just the row. You need some additional help, right? So I'm hoping that you'll have some chair time, some one-on-one alone time with God. And I've been having Brenda send those out every Monday through Friday, and I'm hoping you get them. I hope you read them, and I hope you spend some time with God. Sometimes I put little ideas about this week, pray about this, or today, pray about this, or today, look for these opportunities in your life. And I'm hoping that one-on-one alone time with God is a time when you connect with God in a real and powerful way in your life. But even more so than that, I want you to get with others around you. I want you to have some circle time. Wayne does a great job leading the Men of Iron on Thursday mornings. We get some real serious conversations going on there. And some of us have to backtrack a little bit and go, yeah, I need to think about that differently. Because we're working together, building one another up in community learning, community growth. You are meant to be together in a community, in a circle group, in a small, whatever you want to call it, small group. In my group on Saturday mornings, we meet over food. How much better is that? So does Wayne. He has food too. His is actually cheaper than mine because he's got connections over there at that Grandview Terrace. Believe me, he pays for it. Kathy has a group that meets at her house. It's biblical, you know. It's biblical. And let me challenge you. Maybe you're not in a group, but maybe you ought to be. Maybe you should be. Or maybe you need to start one. I'm okay with that. Gathers, if one of the days that we have a circle group going on doesn't match your schedule, maybe you need to make one that matches your schedule. But I really want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to be more like the Christ every day, being more and more like Him. Listen, if I'm in one of your groups with you and I challenge you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I love you and I want you to grow. Listen, if I meet you for coffee, it's not like you're meeting the principal. It's not the same thing. I once had a friend tell me, whenever the pastor calls and wants to meet with me, I have no problem because the pastor always wants to see me grow. That's true. It is true. I want to see you grow. So if we meet for coffee, my intention is not to correct you or something like that. It's to walk with you and grow with you so that we together are growing as a body of believers. Are you with me? And so over these 10 weeks of this Follow Christ study, I really want to challenge you. Get in a circle group. Show up here. Get in a circle group and have some chair time with God. And I will. We're sending those out every week. Pastor Kevin will be in the back with his computer. If you don't get one, it's because Pastor Kevin doesn't have your right email. Okay. So get with him. Get all right. Moving along. So there's three areas I want to talk to you about. With this worry, is if we're Christians, we're not worriers, is what Jesus is trying to get at here. And worry actually has a root. Did you know that? And I want to talk to you about three roots of being worried that will help you to not be worried in life. Is anybody here know a professional worrier? Yeah, some of you do. Yeah. My grandmother Johnson was good at it. She could worry like the best of them. She did. I remember as a young child, Grandpa flew up. He was a pilot and had a Piper Cherokee 6. It was all kinds of fun. But he flew up to Ohio where we were, but Grandma was too worried to fly on that plane, so he had to put her on a commercial jetliner with Valium. at this time, they had flown, he had gone to Michigan, and back at this time, that's where cars were made, and bought her a brand new blue Oldsmobile, Delta 88, whatever it was. I remember it was blue with blue with blue. And she just thought that, but we were driving in that car, and I got to sit in between Grandma and Grandpa in the front seat. Good time. and so as Grandpa would drive, Grandma would be over there just like... She'd be clinching the handle rest. The world was coming at her. She was good at worrying. But what I want to get at is that's not a character with which Christians live. Worrying all the time. Do you know why you worry? The first one I want to talk to you about is because we don't trust. Because we don't trust God. Because we don't trust ourselves. We certainly don't trust others around us. There's a... I nearly got ran over yesterday. I thought better... I almost rolled down the window and told this elderly lady that in surprise you're not allowed to talk on your cell phone and drive at the same time. Oh, yeah. So the steering wheel was up around here, and I noticed she could see through the steering wheel through the windshield. Her other hand was on her cell phone talking away and nearly ran me over. And I thought, you know, as a service to her, because those tickets are expensive, that we're not allowed to do that here in Arizona. But I didn't. I thought it would be more distracting to roll the window down and try to get her attention. But sometimes we certainly don't trust the others around us. Sometimes we don't trust that things will be okay. So our passage in Matthew 6 says this: look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I mean, there's some really interesting birds out there. I mean, there are. Have you ever seen one of these duck-billed pelican things? That big blue? It's an ugly-looking bird. And I tell you, I would not want to meet one wherever they meet at. But God feeds the birds in all sorts of different ways, doesn't he? The pelicans, have you ever seen pelicans out there at the ocean? We were in San Diego, and we're out on the pier, and they would circle around up there, and all of a sudden they'd cock their wings back, and they would just dive right into the water. Why? Because there was fish in there, and they eat the fish right out of the water. Isn't that amazing? Outside, I was in Scottsdale a little while ago, and I was coming out of the Costco gas. I had gotten gas at the Costco, and I was coming out of there, and all of a sudden, a hawk flew right in front, I mean, just dove right in front of me just as I was about to turn into traffic, and I saw it. What was it doing? It grabbed a lizard that was on the sidewalk and flew off with the lizard. Right? Outside our window, Every once in a while, there's a little hummingbird that comes by, and it'll look in the kitchen window, hey, how are you guys doing today? And then they'll move over to the dining room window, because Anne's got some roses out there and different flowers, and it just, you know, that's what they do, because their wings fly so fast. It hums, it's not buzz, it's hum, sorry, hum, that's why they're called hummingbirds, right? I'll be here all week, but I'm just... But none of those birds are worried. And are you more important than the birds? Are you? The scripture says you are. And I wonder, do you trust the Lord to provide for you? He asks you to. And in fact, if you trust Him, He says He will provide and bless. But I got to tell you, sometimes we don't, do we? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, you cannot. That's one of the lessons Isaac was learning this past week. Sorry, Isaac. It's the benefit of being the pastor's kid. His truck is broke. And I could see worry on his face. And what he's thinking about is, I have X amount of dollars in my bank account. If I spend all of that on fixing this truck, can't go on a date with the lovely Emily. or whatever, and then we've been juggling cars for a few weeks now, but I could see on his face that he was worried about this problem, right? But we're working on it. We'll figure it out. I'm trying to tell him it'll be all right. We'll figure it out. We'll work on it. I remember a few years ago, Glenn taught a Dave Ramsey financial peace course here in the church, and we signed Isaac up for it, and he took it seriously. I mean, he did the homework. He did it. He paid attention, And one of the things that Dave Ramsey teaches is to have an emergency fund set aside in your, you know, and emergencies are not, oh, suddenly I need clothes because my children grew. No, you budget for that because you know your children are going to grow, right? Emergencies are emergencies, real emergencies, and you set that aside. And Isaac came to me and says, I'm saving up for my emergency fund. And I had to tell him, I said, listen, currently while you're living in my house, I'm your emergency fund. When you move out of my house, make sure you have that emergency fund and you're well prepared. But in the meantime, I'll be your emergency fund. Listen, peanut gallery. I want you to say things that Jesus would say, okay? But as Isaac lives in my home, I want him to... He knows that if anything serious happens, Mom and Dad are there. We'll provide. And one of the things I want to teach him is that I'm trusting in the Lord in my life to provide and to take care of things. And I'm keen to tell my kids stories about how I didn't know how I was going to provide something. And it wasn't me that had to provide it, but the Lord did. In surprising ways, through surprising people, through you sometimes, by giving to my family, by taking us out sometimes, or or giving a gift or whatever it is, God uses His people and blesses in many strange ways, many wonderful ways. Sometimes He blesses by giving people to help us plan and organize for the future. Right? So, worrying about something doesn't do any good. If I get all worked up and worried about it, and does that help the situation? Not really, no. But if we pause for a minute and go, okay, I'm not sure I know what to do here, but Lord, I'm going to trust You to provide, and I'm going to work in ways to see where I can make this go. But worrying, I don't need that added stress. I don't need that anxiety in my life. Right? Anxiety seems to be the current plague of people in America today for some reason. But what kind of message can you send if you're not anxious? It's that I have a Heavenly Father who loves and provides for me. And it's going to be okay. Right? And what do you worry about? Clothes? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. We've had quite a bit of rain lately. Ann has these tall purple flowers, and they just kind of, what are they called? Lupines? Beautiful. They have taken over our front sidewalk. So if you come over, you have to weed through the flowers. Just pick some on your way in. It's okay. There are lots of them out there. You know what's neat about lupines? You don't have to plant them. They just come back every year. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. The other thing you need to know about flowers is once you pick them, they don't last very long, do they? When you are in Jesus' time, you don't have extra newspapers to start your fires with. They didn't have newspapers. But what they did do is they would get the weeds that dried up or the flowers that dried up, and they would start their kindling their fires with those. Dried up grass burns real quickly. If you're up in the mountains, there happen to be pine needles. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you little faith. Oh, he said that, didn't He? Oh, no, He didn't. Yes, He did. Do you have little faith? Where is your faith? And faith has to do with what? Trust. Right? Why are you so worried? Why are you so anxious? Do you not trust the Lord? Do you not have faith in God? Let me encourage you that as we Christians, ones of Christ, follow Him, He asks us to trust Him. And I got to tell you, there are some times when life gets tough. And it's not easy to see where the next help is coming from. That doesn't mean you need to trust any less. That means you need to start trusting more, right? You need to have faith in God. And God's people don't worry. Peter said this in 1 Peter. He says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety. Your worries, your fears, your anxieties. Throw them at Jesus. There, Have you ever seen the guys that throw the nets to catch the fish? It starts off in a bunch, but then you throw it and it just like, and then it hits the water, and as they pull at the center rope, the weights went down and gather fish up. But that casting, boy, they have to use their whole body and just like cast all your worries, all your anxieties on Jesus. Give them to Him. Because holding on to it sure isn't helping you. There are more reports from doctors about them treating people with anxiety than anything else lately, it seems like. It's because you're hanging on to all your worries. And that sure is doing you a lot of good, isn't it? Do you know there are actual physical problems that show up when you hang on to worry all the time? Real serious problems. And that's going to help too, isn't it? They just add it to the list, right? I've said that before. Don't hold on to a list. Quit making lists of all the things you're worried about. Give them to Jesus and let them go. Okay? Are you with me? Hello? Wake up. He also talks about another root. Ambition. Sometimes our ambitions in life gets in the way. What's he say? He says this in Matthew 6, 31. He says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Do you think he didn't know you needed them? So, eat, drink, and wear clothing, right? The Greeks have sort of, during this time, the Greeks were the prevalent push in society. And what you wore mattered, right? If they saw you coming, they could tell which one was the owner and which one was the slave by the clothes that they were wearing, right? And then eating was a big deal. You guys don't know about that because none of you go out to eat every once in a while, right? I read a report that Surprise has one of the best places to put a restaurant. Because people eat here a lot. Eat out here a lot. That's you guys. And me. I go out. I like eating out. And according to Scripture, Jesus did go out and eat. He was invited to banquets all the time. And apparently he did drink wine. He even, if it wasn't good enough, he'd mix up some water into good stuff. And in fact, he was accused of being a glutton because he was always invited to a banquet. And then there's John the Baptist who ate locusts and honey. And people didn't like him either. So they didn't like John the Baptist. They didn't like Jesus who ate out. And there was like, they just didn't like him. They had to find something to complain about, right? We never do that, do we? But part of Jesus' mission wasn't the food or the drink, but it was the people he went with. See, Jesus was more interested in going to those banquets to be with the people. To be with those he met with. Do you know, if you're new here, get to know Milt and Vicky, because they take people out who are new. Did you know that? Yeah. I didn't know that, but I'll make sure I get over there. You know why? It's not just because they like to eat food out all the time. They do. Don't get me wrong, man. They like to eat food. But they want to get to know you. They actually consider it part of their ministry, part of their life's mission to greet new people who come to church so that you feel welcome, that you feel part of this environment. Milton and Vicki are great. Sometimes they even buy. They don't always buy, but sometimes they'll even buy you lunch. Maybe they'll just invite you and you buy your own lunch. That's fine too, right? Dutch. Let's go Dutch. But they're not. Sometimes they go to a real nice place. Sometimes they go to the bagel shop and get a sandwich, which is still good. Oh, yeah, it's good. Have you ever been there? Hot bagel. So good. But it's not about the food, is it? They want to get to know you. They want you to feel like you belong, that you're part of. Welcome. I'm not just picking on them. There's several in here that do the same thing. Jesus wants you to be not just worried about all of those things, but be in community with one another. And as we move to this next passage, sometimes just we get all worked up about who belongs where and who belongs what and what should we do here and there. We shouldn't worry about that. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He was worried about the people, wasn't he? Not worried. I caught myself, didn't I? He was concerned that they needed to know about this Christian life too. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said that the church is not supposed to be a collection. I goofed up the quote. It's not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Because we're concerned about people, about lives. And Jesus wants you to interact with people, create circle groups. And they did nothing but fuss. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Poor Zacchaeus was a short guy. He had to climb up the tree. I went to Sunday school as a kid. We had a little song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Apparently you went to Sunday school too. I started this. I know. It's all my fault. But I'm not worried. Because Jesus went to his house and taught him about the ways of God, right? When you invite people over to your house or you go out to dinner with them, be interested in them. When you're interested in them, show them how Christ is by your walk, your talk, your life. Amen? There's another story where somebody is concerned. Do you know the story of Martha and Mary? See, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were his childhood buddies. They grew up together, Bethany, or Bethlehem. And often when he was coming through the different territories, he'd stop at their house. And here they are. This is just a picture that I found on the internet. There's beautiful paintings of this story. You can kind of see Martha in the background there with her worried face. Her co-host, Mary, is not helping prepare the food at all, is she? I don't know, but in our house, when somebody doesn't help cook or get things along, somebody else notices. Right? I'm in here working. Where is? And Martha even took time. Said, Jesus, tell her to get up and help me make the food. But Jesus said to Mary, Martha, Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen relationship, hasn't she? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can see her intently looking at Jesus, listening to him teach about the ways of the kingdom, right? She's chosen the more valuable. Listen, the food will come. It'll be all right. At our house on Wednesdays, we invite the teens over to come and eat with us. And usually it's me in the kitchen making dinner. And they gather out in the living room and they tell stories about their day. They laugh. They giggle. They laugh some more. This week, there was a new one that came to the group, and all of them, what was his name? Nolan. The door opened, and all of them, Nolan, welcome. It was great. And Nolan is a freshman this year. Still learning the ropes of the social adequacies of things. He was hilarious. We had a great time with him. But you know what? They all welcomed him, even when he was awkward. They laughed and teased with him. They welcomed him along. That's good stuff. I started doing that a while back. I don't know how long we've been doing that, but welcoming the teens over for dinner, thinking if I feed them, maybe they'll go to church, right? You know. And for some reason, they just keep adding more teens to the group. And that's okay. I'm okay with that, except that I have to cook more and more food. And these—I don't know if you've ever fed a teen lately. They are still hungry. After all the food's gone, you know. But you know what? I've never had a problem providing for them. The Lord always has a way of, there's always food there. I even fed them an asparagus, and they ate all of it. I was a little worried if they were going to eat the asparagus, but apparently they like it. Either that or they're just really good kids who eat what's put in front of them, and they're not going to say anything about it, which might be part of that too. They've had broccoli. They eat it. They don't. Every once in a while, I don't do Brussels sprouts. I won't eat the Brussels sprouts. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen? A third root, trouble. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but being a Christian, being one who belongs to Christ, doesn't exempt you from trouble. We do live in a fallen world, and there are things that happen. He even says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Sometimes people just keep collecting all the worries that they have. I read in one of those daily devotionals. I can't remember which one. I jump around sometimes, but one of the points that the author was making in the daily devotional was, when you have a problem or a worry, and you're only meant to deal with that right then and there. Don't hang on to it. Deal with it, and then it's over. I don't know how many times some people hang on to all their worries and troubles just so they can get with their friends and tell them what they're worrying about and all the trouble that they had all week long. Sometimes we hang on to our troubles that were 4 years ago. It happened. It's over. Move forward with Christ. Find new love. Find new joys. Find new things that God can bless you with. You can't go back and change it. You can't. And don't get me wrong. I have things in my life that hurt me in the past and shaped some of the ways I think now. But hanging on to the pain and the anguish and the betrayals that came across. I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes a pastor gets betrayed. It does happen to us. We're not special. We're just like you. You've been betrayed. And hanging on to that isn't helping me move on. Right? And if I hang on to it, I'm not helping you move on either. It happened. It's over. We're moving on. I still belong to Christ. I still belong to this kingdom. And God has new blessings every day for me. I got that from a good book somewhere. And if I'm holding on to all these weights of the world, some of the problems that are happening in the world aren't mine to hold on to. I'm not supposed to solve every single problem in the world. One of the pastor's best skills is problem solver extraordinaire. When you guys have a problem, guess who you call? Me. Hey, pastor, I have this problem that I don't want to do. If you would do it for me, that would be great. And sometimes I can solve some problems. Sometimes I tell you, why are you worrying about that? Get over it. Right? And I mean that because I love you. I really do. I'm not just trying to skirt responsibility like some of you. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But if you call me, maybe I have some good advice for you. Because I've been through a problem or I've seen something happen or whatever. But once you deal with it and move on. There are new blessings coming your way. God has wonderful things in store for you. Do you trust Him? Do you? There are new blessings every day. And I'm not going to allow myself to get all wrapped up and worried. Because I do trust God. And in fact, this world has a way of getting us to worry, doesn't it? Our banking system purposely gets you worried so you think worrisome about whether or not my credit's good enough. The media will tell you all the terrible things that are happening in the world so that you can get really worked up and worried. Matter of fact, the more you worry, the more you make decisions based on fear and trouble instead of what God can do, what the blessings are that God's going to bring. I would rather make a decision based on what I think God's going to do than what the rest of the world is doing. And as we cover this area, this is just one area that Christ had talked to His people on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, listen, Christians aren't worried because they trust the God who loves them. In fact, that God loves them so much that He saw them wallowing in their turmoil and trouble and strife, and He says, they need a Savior. And I'm going to send my Son because I love and I care for them so much that He will be the answer. And He's going to walk the earth and He's going to show them this is how life works. This is the kingdom business here. Watch Him. Watch Him go through life as He sacrifices His life for you, as He gives all that He has for you. And He did. He went to the cross for us. So that you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to struggle in your enslavement to the worries and the troubles of this world. Because you have a Savior who loves you. Because you have a God who gave everything He could for you. And will go out of His way to make sure that you are loved and cared for. And it's time for you to start living that way. Start living life out in complete trust in the God who gave everything for you. Amen?